Morning all, welcome to week 35 of the podcast. Second version as well. Things have got so cold in the team car that we managed to lose the first set of audio of the day, which was obviously fantastic. There was loads of great stuff that I said that potentially now I won't actually be able to remember, which I hope isn't the case. The London 6 Day was the main stream of cycling action over the last week. Although the cyclocross got going as well, the European Championships, and the cyclocross up the mythical Koppenberg, just outside Oudenaarde in Belgium. Interestingly, I think that when shown in comparison to, you know, races like the Abu Dhabi Tour and some of the end of season racing that seems to have been manufactured to milk the most out of the road racing campaign, I think the cyclocross and the track racing stand up really, really well. 6 Day has had some bad publicity, some bad press in the past, and of course it was massive in the 1980s when you had the likes of Danny Clark and Urs Fruehler, Tony Doyle even from a British perspective, Colin Sturgis, a local rider, I think did a few sixes as well. But I think the fad for the events being perceived as engineered, the results being perceived as engineered, has left a little bit of a scar, I think, on how people perceived 6 Day racing, and therefore they have they kind of moved away from it, I think. And the obsession with getting year round road racing was such that I think we lost some of the key core traditions of the sport. And you know, I'm a massive traditionalist. I've been around cycling 20 odd years, so for me, you know, it's important that the traditions are preserved. I don't care what people who are new to the sport say. The traditions and the core areas of bike racing that have sustained it for 100 years have done a pretty good job. So, you know, for me, there doesn't really actually need to be a Japan Cup, and I couldn't really care less who won it. Unless it was me, of course, in which case it would be the greatest race in the world. But I think it's important that those traditions are protected, and that's why I'm glad that 6 Days are coming back. You could argue that the London 6 Day felt slightly manufactured with some of the you know, the dance moves and Ministry of Sound, but you know, it got people in, it got corporate money in to fund. So, you know, what can you do? You have to accept that as part of the course, and you don't have to like it, but unfortunately, that's how sport at the top level works, which makes me glad sometimes I'm not there. Bradley and Cav were awesome. I think the Madison on the penultimate night, where they took that lap really late on, was probably one of the best bits of bike racing, actually, of the whole, you know, of the whole season. So for them, it must have been great to be part of. And you know, it really hurt getting that lap. There was no feeling in my mind there that they'd bought it, or you know, all the organisers had bought it for them to ensure some excitement from the home crowd. So yeah, then we move on. Of course, the 6 Days move on. Obviously, the 6 Day, the Ghent 6 Day, which you know is the icon of 6 Days, Berlin as well, and as well as this 6 Day series, we launch into the Revolution series, which you know, in many ways, I think history will show was actually key to bringing track racing back to the forefront of the sport, and this much vaunted Champions League of cycling, which is a name that really annoys me on a whole host of levels, but whatever. If it's entertaining and exciting, then yeah, let's have a go. Let's see what it's like. I look forward to it with a few reservations, of course. So yeah, that's been the 6 Day, the cyclocross, exciting racing as always. And nice to see that, you know, we've got that three-way struggle for supremacy. I think the season after Sven Nys retired was always going to be one that people potentially looked at as being flat. But in Matthew van der Poel, he ages me. I can remember his dad being good at classics. Wout van Aert and Lars van der Haar, we have three riders, you know, good young riders who are fulfilling that obligation. And they're all riding pretty well. They're all getting into form, and I think that we're all looking forward to a good campaign of exciting racing. And why not? You know, it's a good way of getting people out and about to enjoy the racing. Now, whether some of these riders they have tried to move. Van Aert, of course, has been riding on the road. His Crelan service team have ridden a number of classics, and he did actually show quite well in some of those, you know, really extreme Belgian ones that went down canal tow paths and at the sides of block of flats and stuff like that. And that's great, because you know, maybe that skill that you need to be a cyclocross rider, coupled with that explosive power that you only need, you know, to sustain for an hour or so, but if they can kind of harness that power on any of those big three cyclocross stars, to be fair, not just on him, but if they can harness that, if they can get that moving into you know, a more sustained level, why not? Why can't these guys be, you know, decent classics riders? I see no reason why they can't, because they're good honest pros and good riders. So, you know, great. It's an exciting time for cross, as it is for the track. Speaking kind of briefly, as I did just then, of tradition, my winter tradition of riding single speed has come out into effect this weekend. It's hard work lugging a massive bike with no gears around the countryside for a couple of hours in the dark with your lights on, but you know, we do it for a whole host of reasons, don't we? We do it mainly because we love it, but we also do it because I think we feel that there are massive benefits. Winter miles for summer smiles, we keep getting told, and let's hope that's the case again. It's difficult because I ride single on the turbo as well, just for cost based reasons really, and if you're doing some specific drills, specific power work, that does make it quite difficult. And this winter, my first full winter on with a power meter, recording every single thing I do, rather than having a couple of months where I just pootle around and do all the sociable stuff, is going to be interesting, because it's pretty lonely out there at the moment. But, well, actually, it was very lonely. There wasn't anyone up at 7:15 on Saturday morning out in the middle of the fens in the dark. But, you know, in a way, there was a poetic beauty to it. I'm convincing myself. There was a poetic beauty to it because it was brilliant. When the sun started to come up, you know, there was a bit of a glow. It felt like, yeah, this is good. I'm out here. No one else necessarily is out here. And much as I despise Lance Armstrong and all he stood for, he actually made a good point when he kind of said, you know, I used to go out on the rubbish mornings because when I got back, I used to sit down, drink a coffee and think, yeah, no one else has bothered this morning, so I've done better. We'll see whether or not anyone would want to be freezing to death in my garage on a cheap single speed, on a cheap turbo trainer, would be another thing. But what that has done is meant that I can start re-watching some of the big races from the season while I'm pedalling in the cold and the dark. And as a result of that, hopefully our special end-of-year review will be greatly enhanced as a result of having re-watched some of the big races. I'm through Liège-Bastogne-Liège. I wanted to start with that one, but and I'm now kind of into the meaty part of Milan-San Remo. So we will have, you know, we will have that season review coming up, and name a Fendrian rider of the year. I'm sure, you know, that will be something worth pondering and considering. And it'll be Jürgen Rolands, won't it? But let's at least try and justify that with some sort of backstory, eh? So, excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks for all the positive feedback and shares for the review of the year that's been on the website. http://fendrien.eu. We did it in the two-part review. Lots of shares on Twitter and stuff, and I'm much obliged to you all for that. So, until next week, when we'll be back, maybe even with that season review. Take care and have a good week, and stay safe out there in the inevitable frost, because I'm sitting here still waiting for my window to clear. Not really. Okay, take care and speak soon. Bye-bye.